Hello, and welcome back to What's Your Favorite Scary Story podcast. This is Tyler.
And this is Keith. We're coming back after a pretty long break. Work's been kind of crazy, but now that we're quarantined, we have to find a way to fill our time. And we have a very special guest with us today.
Hello.
Miss Gretchen Pine, our best friend.
Aw, hi.
Gretchen has some very scary stories, but we're going to start off. And Gretchen's going to tell us how she first got into the paranormal.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I guess we're just going to jump right into this then. So I don't necessarily know how I got dragged into this whole life, but
I thought you were going to say drugged.
If I was drugged, at least I would have a reason for for experiencing the things that I experienced. But I was born in Hawaii on Pearl Harbor, and my dad was in the military, and I don't know if any of you listeners know, but Hawaii and Pearl Harbor specifically it's one of the most haunted places in the United States, obviously, because of the history there. So everything started happening when I was a baby. Obviously, I don't remember a lot of those experiences, but my mom has told me like a lot of stories about that, and she is very sensitive to things. Hopefully, Tyler and Keith will have my mom on one of these days that she comes down here, and she can tell you her firsthand experiences. But I will tell you the experiences that I have had. So probably my first experience was when I was like 6 years old, and I remember going downstairs of my house and waiting for my mom to get ready for work, and I was going to her office's daycare, and I saw like a really horrifying figure in the window.
Oh my.
And it kind of looked like Beetlejuice. I honestly, like, I know it sounds crazy, but I can't really explain it any other way. Like, that's my very first memory of ever seeing anything. And it was just there, and it was so real. And I remember, like, in our family room, I went and hid under the piano for probably, like...
She's rich.
I went and hid under the piano.
Under the baby grand.
Stop. No, we were not rich. But I went and hid under the piano for probably like 30 minutes. I mean...
Oh my God.
I mean, I was down there for a long time, and my mom came down and she was like, what's going on? And I was like, oh my God, I just saw this face in the window. And, you know, my mom like tried to calm me down. Obviously, she couldn't explain paranormal activity to me at 6 years old. So, you know, I just kind of took it as like, oh, I'm seeing things. But then I come to find out that the house that we lived in had a really awful history of a child molester who allegedly had some kind of interaction with like Boy Scouts. And when my parents had moved in, they found like bloody Boy Scouts uniforms and bloody little boys' underwear in the attic.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice is a creep.
Are you afraid of Beetlejuice?
No, that's like one of my favorite movies. I mean, now. I don't know if I saw it at the time. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know when that movie came out, to be honest with you. And I don't know if that was like something that kind of like resonated in my brain that I was just seeing. But after growing up and knowing the history of the house, then I'm like, well, maybe like what I saw wasn't what I, you know, that I thought it was Beetlejuice. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So then anyways, I found out that there's like all this history in the house. It's a very old house. It's actually part of the Amherst Historical Society, which is the town that I'm from, Amherst, Ohio. So nothing can be changed about the house because that's how old it is. So, you know, finding that information out as a young adult was kind of like, okay, so maybe like the things that I was experiencing when I was a little girl weren't just random or weren't just like part of what I was thinking it was actually happening. So that was probably like my very, very first experience. And then my parents built a brand new house. And from what I know of, the land didn't really have any kind of history. But I know, like, we lived in a house that was across the street from a house that had the railroad tracks behind their house. And there was a massive train accident that had happened. And, like, 100-something people died back in, like, the early 1900s. That's another thing that I didn't find out until later on in my life. But when we moved into the house, I remember laying in my bed and I was just frozen and I could see a man that was in like a train conductor hat standing next to me, and then another man that was like almost in, I don't know, what is this position where you're like holding your knees? He was like sitting on the
fetal position.
It wasn't, yeah, it was, but, like, he wasn't, like, laying. He was, like, sitting in the corner, like, with his knees tucked up to his chest.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, and, like, I couldn't move, and that was, like, my first experience with sleep paralysis, which, you know, I, as a believer of the paranormal, I don't necessarily think that it was actually sleep paralysis. I think that there was some kind of entity, like, holding me down or, you know, keeping me from moving. And that was horrifying for me. I remember just laying in my bed and I couldn't hear the words that they were saying. I couldn't make out anything, but I heard them say my name. I heard them say Gretchen, and they were talking to each other and they said Gretchen. So that was awful. It was so scary. I don't even know how else to explain it. But that was, like, my first experience as, like, a, you know, like, a teenager. So then I started, like, thinking, okay, I remember having this experience at my old house. And maybe it's not just, you know, me seeing things. Maybe, like, this is something that's real. So I kind of talked to my mom about it. And then she came, you know, kind of told me about Hawaii and all of the experiences that she had there. And she was pretty sensitive to the other side. So I was like, okay, you know, I guess maybe I might be sensitive to the other side also. So that was the first experience I had at the new house. The second experience that I had at the new house was we had this room above the garage that my dad used to record music in. It was completely soundproof. It was a studio. And if you come in through our garage door, you would immediately go up the stairs to this studio. And it was a very steep staircase. And, you know, me and my brother as children, we weren't allowed up there because my dad has a lot of expensive guitars and a lot of expensive equipment. So I knew that nobody was up there, and I remember sitting at my kitchen table, which was probably like 12 feet from the door to the bonus room is what it was called, and my dad was downstairs in the basement, my mom was out of town for work, and my brother wasn't home, and I'm sitting there doing my homework, and I just hear this, like, rumbling down the stairs. Like, it sounded like somebody who weighed, like, 500 pounds was falling down the stairs. It was like a boulder coming down the stairs. And the door flew open and then slammed shut. And that experience for me was like, holy shit. Like, this is not a joke.
Anyone else hear it besides you or see it?
Mm-mm. Nobody else was there. I mean, my mom was out of town. My dad was in the basement, and my brother was at home, so it's like, I don't know.
Did you feel like a presence? Did you feel anything, or was it more just...
I didn't necessarily feel anything, not like what I had felt before. Mm-hmm. Like, with the two people in my room, like, that was the first experience where I, like, felt something. This was more like it happened, and I was like, what was that? Like, I thought I was hallucinating, because mm-hmm. I'm like, there's no way. Just, and I remember sitting there and hearing the noise, and I looked over, like, to my right, because our kitchen table was there, and then the stairs were over this way, and I remember, like, what is that noise? And I looked over, and then the door flew open, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I was horrified.
That's so scary.
Yeah. So, I kind of just, like, okay, that just happened. Like, did that really just happen, or am I crazy? So, that happened. And then I really didn't, like, feel anything after that. I always feel something in my house. Like, when I go home to visit my parents, I always feel something. Always.
Why do you think that you are able to experience all this?
I have no idea. I really don't. I honestly, like, I feel like, I don't know if it's, like, an inherited thing or what. Like, my mom, I know my mom is sensitive to it, because I know the experiences that they had in Hawaii, and we'll save that for another time, because I can't tell those firsthand, but I've heard them, and I know how horrifying it was for her. But I don't know, that's the thing about this whole, like, being sensitive thing. It's like, do I know that it's something that I got from my family, or is it something that I just think, you know what I mean? Like, and at that time it was like a really weird place for me, because I was like, am I imagining this? Like, is this really happening? You know, and I was probably like 13 years old, so I had no clue anything about, like, what I know now, you mm-hmm. know, being 34, and now I know, like, the experiences that I've had, and I can look back at it and say, okay, this is for real. Like, I did experience this. So, I don't know. I mean, Keith, do you feel like you've inherited your senses, or?
Yeah, I feel like being sensitive is definitely, can be passed down. I know that I got a lot more sensitive after trying to open my third eye.
Oh my God.
And meditating. And,
oh, I have using a whole other story about that.
So I definitely feel like that's helped, but I've always been sensitive. My yeah. mom is very sensitive. Things follow her entire life. And then my mom's grandma's sister was a psychic.
Okay.
Like a real psychic. Like yeah. tarot cards. And then she passed away when I was young, but she was like a true psychic.
Yeah.
So.
Do you feel like anything that you've experienced is from something else? Like, has your family ever experienced anything?
I have family out at the farm who experienced a lot. But on my dad's side, they were super religious and very...
But sometimes I feel like that's when shit happens, you know? Like, when you're super religious. Like, I, for one, am not a religious person. I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school. But if you think about, like, all of the films that you see that mm-hmm. are, like, the exorcism of whatever, this, that, or the other, it's always people that are super duper religious that are experiencing the things. So... You know, at that point, are you like, okay, is this really happening to that person? Or is it just them in their head because they believe in God and they believe in the devil and this, that, or the other? So maybe your family that is super religious does have experiences.
They just rationalize or explain them away.
Yeah, they yeah, just think that
they,
it's...
They do.
Yeah.
On my mom's side, I mean, I know that my mom has seen things from the farm. That's the only thing in my entire, like, childhood is the farm.
Till I lived in Dayton in sort of a suburb, and then...
Yeah, what is the farm?
Like, the farm...
40 miles away, it was called the farm.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was, like, a bunch of his family lived on a farm together.
Oh, had... like a commune?
No, but it was in, it was, like, in West Alexandria... And every time that we would go there, we'd call it the farm. And it wasn't really a farm. There was a barn at Aunt Faye's.
It's just property.
But it was just their property, and yeah, we would call it the farm. And then Kathy's house, it was actually across the street from a cemetery.
But Tyler's family, that part of the family, is very sensitive.
Yes, they are very sensitive.
His mom's aunt was... Uh-huh. Psychic, if you want to call it that, but she was very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
She was very in tune. She would have dreams of people dying.
Oh wow!
And the next day they would die. Like,
oh
she
my
had
god!
Such, like, she had premonition dreams.
So I feel like it probably is like an inherited trait, maybe.
But for me, I think that I'm also somewhat closed off.
Tyler's not super sensitive as far as feeling things, but things make themselves known to him.
Yes.
Okay.
Things want to be seen by me, but, you know, such as, like, when Keith goes on and starts asking me questions, mm-hmm, of, tell me about a race car in your past.
Right.
And all that. And I'm like, I don't know anything about a race car.
Well, because they are going to go to somebody who's open to the experience, yeah, not somebody who's close to the experience. Well,
the link
but
to
you're,
the
like,
race car
semi-open.
Is I asked Tyler literally for 4 months... Your grandpa, there's something about a race car. Like a little, and I said a little miniature race car. Racing. Like a race, I just see a race car. That's all I could say. Is I see a race car. And he's like, no, my grandpa didn't race. Like whatever, no. Nothing. I'm like, okay. And then a few months later, after all that, like I asked him like daily for several days. I'm like, think anything with a race car. And finally, his cousin tagged him on Facebook, him and his sister, in a photo of a race car shaped cologne bottle.
Wow.
And she said, remember we used to get this for Papaw every Christmas?
Oh my god. You just like, didn't remember?
I didn't remember it.
I don't remember at all.
Wow.
But I'm like, there was something with a race car.
Yeah.
It was like an Avon cologne, and it came in a race car bottle. And the grandkids used to get him that every year for Christmas.
That's pretty freaky. So, obviously, if you're getting something and your family's sensitive and your family is partially sensitive and you're partially closed off, but then maybe because partially your family's closed off and partially
his
they're not.
Is closed off.
Yeah,
some of them are. Some of
are. For sure. His mom, like, hears his dad, like, screaming, like, a lot of very personal stuff. Like,
wow.
Hears her, his dad, but
screaming makes it sound really scary.
When
he was ill, he would yell out for my mom in the middle of the night,
yeah,
you know, wanting something, and he would say Linda from the other room because he had a hospital bed in the music room,
mm-hmm,
and mom would sleep in their bedroom, and he would yell out for Linda in the middle of the night, and she still wakes up in the middle of the night to him yelling for her.
Yeah, and I fully believe that because, like, in my experience at the new house, which should have never had any experiences because it was totally built by my parents, it was like I would, you know, in my later teens, like, my parents would be out on, like, a Friday or Saturday night, and I would have my girlfriends over, and I would be playing the music super loud, and I could hear my parents yelling for me. Like, I would be upstairs playing my music super loud, and I could hear my mom say, Gretchen, telephone. And I would turn my music down, and I'm like, Mom? And there's nobody there. It's just, like, that's what the paranormal does. Like, they just do shit like that, I guess, mm-hmm, right? I mean,
yeah.
I don't
know. When people say, oh, well, there's no history in the land. That land is so old. There's always history. Like,
yeah,
that's
of
thing
course.
Too. And things around, spirits can travel.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think. And that sounds very scary to have someone, like, using your mom's voice. And it could
yeah
be sinister, but it could also just be a bored spirit. Like, I don't know. It's really creepy and scary sometimes. But that crouching down, that guy crouching in the corner, that's very
yeah
scary.
Yeah, it was,
but
he, like,
seemed hurt.
It, yeah, and it wasn't, like, anything malicious. It was, like, at the time, like, I remember, like, not being able to move. I felt like I was screaming. Like, I opened my mouth and like a word didn't come out of my mouth. I remember literally laying there and like having my mouth open and screaming, and all I could hear was Gretchen. Like, I could hear them say my name, which was the scariest part of it to me, is that they knew who I was, but I didn't know who they were. And as far as like what you said about like the land, I don't know what happened on that land before anything, you know, anything was built or whatever. But I know, all I know is like the train track history. So that's all I have to go on. But even after that, it didn't ever end for me. It just kept getting more intensified. And this is the best story that I have. So a girlfriend of mine and I moved to Atlanta in 2008. And we moved from Austin, Texas. And we didn't really have a place to go or anywhere to live. So we were staying with this guy that I met on MySpace.
Oh my God.
But we were staying with this guy, and he let us sleep on his couch, and he had this very old house in this area of Atlanta called Midtown. Well, actually, it wasn't technically Midtown. I can't even think of the name of what it was. But anyways, it was the super-duper old house, and there was a really bad storm, and the power had gone out all over Atlanta. Like, the whole city was blacked out, and we were kind of out and about and trying to find places to live. And we came back to this guy's place, and he said, "Hey, you know, there's no power here. I'm going to my friend's house. That's wherever. And they have power. So if you want to come, like, come hang out. We're just going to hang out and drink or whatever." And we were both just like super duper exhausted. And the thing about my friend Brooke is that she is so not a believer of this kind of shit. Like, she's just like, no, it's not for real. So we're staying at this house, and we go back, and it's power's out. We have nothing but our MacBooks and, you know, MySpace. This is 2008. And we're sitting on the couch, and he had like a sectional. And I remember being on like the far end of the sectional, and she was on the other end of the sectional. And we were just kind of getting at each other because we'd been around each other for so long. And I was like, "Dude, I'm going to bed. I can't handle this." And she's like, I'm scared of it. Like, I don't want to be here. It's dark. I'm scared." I'm like, "There's nothing to be scared of." And I felt like I was just telling her that to like comfort her, to comfort me. So I was like, "No, there's nothing going on. Like, it's fine." So next to the living room, there was this area, which I don't know if it was like a formal dining room or what it was, but he had other couches in there. And there was a humongous chandelier in this area. And I was like, just pissed and annoyed with her, and I was like, "I'm gonna lay on the other couch." So I left the room that she was in and went to the dining room area and laid down over there. And I laid down, and I remember closing my eyes and falling asleep. And when I closed my eyes, I just felt something. You know how you just feel it? Like, there, you don't see anything, you just feel something. And I opened my eyes, and the room was pitch black, but somehow I was seeing three different shadows literally hovering over my face, probably like 5 inches from my face. I mean, so close to my face. And I just remember hearing them say, "Shh, she's gonna hear us." And I was like, what is going on? Like, I couldn't even grasp what was actually happening. And I had my eyes open, and I could just see these shadows above me and just hear what they were saying. And I mean, it felt like 20 seconds that happened. It felt like it was this like instant. And the next thing I know, I hear this like blood curdling scream from the next room. And I'm like, all of a sudden, like out of whatever trance or whatever I was in. And I run over to the next room where Brooke is, and I'm like oh my God, are you okay? And she's like, Gretchen, I have been screaming your name for 5 minutes. I have been screaming for you for 5 minutes. And I was like, what? What do you mean? Like, I literally have only been in this room for like 30 seconds. Like, what is happening? And she's like, no, somebody was choking me. And all I could hear was them say, shh, she's gonna wake up. And so she's telling me that she just heard the same exact thing that heard from a different room with 3 different shadows above me, but somebody was choking her. And I have goosebumps right now just thinking about it because it was horrifying. And I remember talking to her and just like trying to calm her down and say like, no, like it's okay, that didn't happen, because I didn't want to be scared because I knew that that happened to me. You know what I mean? And so I was like, no, 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 that didn't even happen. So that was 100% like the most horrifying thing ever. Are you getting scared?
No, there's something in here.
Yeah.
My gosh. Is that why I have goosebumps?
No, for real. Like, me and Keith in the middle of that looked at each other because
I've been seeing wisps all day.
Wait, is that why I have goosebumps? Because there's an energy in here?
No, I heard something. I heard almost like a woman.
Oh my God.
But it was like, she made like a ooh sound.
Yeah.
Keith is exploring now.
And the lights are on now.
And
the lights were off. And they're on now. But I will say that literally while I was telling that story, I did get goosebumps, which makes me feel like maybe there is definitely an energy in here because that's weird.
So that story of the man in the corner crouched down reminded me of the story. Of my sister. So my sister, my family is right. Like, okay, my mom was very into this. My older sister is very open, but doesn't really have a lot of, like, doesn't see stuff. My younger sister is terrified.
Okay.
She's got young kids. She's home alone a lot at night. She doesn't really want to talk about it because it just freaks her out because she's seen so many things.
Oh, and her little boy.
Oh, her
kid. Yeah, I heard about this.
Uh-huh.
So, one night, we were at my mom's house playing the Ouija board.
Oh, good idea.
Oh, my mom has the craziest Ouija board, first of all. And second of all, the Ouija board loves her.
I love it.
Oh my God, like the scariest things. So one night, this is a different story, but this is kind of just to prove like how crazy it is in my mom's house. She lives in a townhouse apartment, so there's an upstairs. One night we're playing the Ouija board, and my mom was like, hey, who's here? And it spelled out a name. And my mom's like, oh, okay, we'll prove it. And the guy in the ghost said, how? And she said, make a noise upstairs if you're here. And all of a sudden, it sounded like someone dropped a bowling ball on the upstairs floor.
Really?
It was the loudest thud.
Oh my God. The wall
shook. It was so scary.
I need to hang out with your mom.
So, my younger sister, this is sort of about, like, the hereditary, whatever. We were sitting, playing the Ouija board. Her back was to a corner. My back was to a corner. And my mom and stepdad were, like, sitting on the couch. Well, my sister was playing the Ouija board. She looked at me and she said, there's something in the corner. I can see it. And she saw it out of the corner of her eye. And it was crouched down in the corner. It was a black figure.
Oh my God.
And she said, I said, there's something over there. She's like, no, I see it. It's there. And she turns back and she said it started crawling at her. And only she could see it.
Oh.
But she said it was moving and like shaking, like almost like
Like in the movies.
Yeah. Like, so fast for her.
Ew.
And she screamed, and as soon as she screamed, it disappeared. But only she could see it.
Interesting.
But it was very, like, it traumatized her.
Yeah, I wonder if that's what happened in Atlanta. Because Brooke screamed, and then all of a sudden everything disappeared.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I mean,
my man would go away once I would flash a light at him. He would be there until I would shine a light.
It just seems like strange that we experience the same exact thing.
That is so strange.
Yeah.
At the same exact time. But to me, it was like, literally, it was like I just closed my eyes and it happened. And for her, it was like 5 to 10 minutes. Like, she was literally, I like, the sound of her voice still is in my ears because it was like the most horrifying, like, Gretchen, like, it was scary. It was so scary. And that's what brought me out of whatever I was in. And
what does she think it is now?
Well, and here's the worst part of it is at the time I was like, oh my God, calm down. Like, it's okay. There's nothing here. There's nothing going on, because I was scared. You know what I mean? So I was trying to talk her down because I was scared. And I never even told her the truth about the whole thing up until like 4 or 5 years ago. And she was like, holy shit. Like, you've been holding this in the whole time. I knew that happened. I knew everything. So for somebody who's not a believer in any of that stuff, and I had told her all of the experiences that I had and all of my mom's experiences and all of that kind of stuff. And she was just like, you know, she would listen. It's not like she would judge, but she just didn't buy into the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But when I said, like, oh yeah, like, I remember that and that did happen and this did happen. And she was like, I can't believe you didn't tell me this sooner, because like, I felt like I was crazy and I was just scared. So I didn't want to admit to it, because I was like, no, if I deny it, then it's not real. Then it didn't really happen. You know what I mean?
That would be scary. Did you tell the guy, or did she tell the guy
what happened? Yeah, I think that it came up, but honestly, I don't know. I don't remember that. But that was probably one of the scariest experiences I ever had. Do we still have time? Because yeah. I have another whole experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my ex-boyfriend died.
Multiple. I want to talk about that.
Wait, what?
I want to talk about opening your third eye, and I want to talk about your other apartment.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. The third eye. So my ex-boyfriend died, and as soon as I found out that he had passed away, I instantly felt like his presence was with me. I remember finding out that he died, and he died like a very tragic death. He was addicted to heroin, so I had thought that he would have died from a heroin overdose. However, that's not what happened. He was actually shot multiple times and died. So when I found out that happened, I lost it for probably like a week straight. I sat in my bed and cried next to my current boyfriend, who like was literally there for me so much. But I remember finding random coins in my bed, like pennies and dimes. And I'm like, where is this money coming from? And I just thought that it fell out of my purse, because I would come home and throw my purse on the bed and, you know, whatever. And I would move my purse, and then I'd be sleeping, and I'd wake up, and there'd be, like, 11 cents there. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Okay, and then I'd throw it back in my purse, and then I would come home, and there'd be 11 more cents there, whatever. So then I find out that he died at 1:11. And I thought that was strange, because I kept finding pennies and dimes in my bed. And I'm like, okay, well, that's really weird. But I always felt a presence with me, but I didn't ever want to go there. You know what I mean? I didn't want to just be like, oh yeah, Mikey is here with me, because that would be too easy for me, you know, it would be too comforting for me to be like, yeah, he's with me. Like, I never wanted to believe that that was real. And when I talked to my friend who's a medium, and she was doing this thing, like, I went to high school with her, and she was on her Facebook Live or whatever, and she was like, oh my God, like, send me a message, and if I feel connected to you, I'm gonna respond, or whatever, one of those things. So I was like, hey, like, what's going on? And she was like, oh my God, I am so drawn to you right now. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And she was like, your ex-boyfriend is with you all the time. Like, anytime you think he's there, he is there. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird because I never fucking told anybody that. Am I allowed to swear here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're fine. So I was like, oh my God, I never like really thought anything about that. And she was like, you know, just so you know, you have the same abilities that I have. And I was like, I mean, I know, I already knew that I was sensitive, obviously, from the shit that I experienced before. But when she said, just so you know, like, you have the same, like, medium, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I can become more sensitive. So then I sent her a message and I was like, well, how do you become a medium? Like, how do I get to be as sensitive as you are? And she had told me, you know, you got to find like a spiritual guide who will like lead you on this journey. And I was like, okay, I don't even know what that means. So like, can we start from the very beginning? She's like, I just really started with like meditating and you've got to open your third eye. And so here I am Googling, how do I open my third eye?
Oh, let me tell you something. People do this for years and don't open their third eye. I meditated one time for like 35 minutes and I was seeing shit like the next day.
Well, that's what happened to me.
I'm like, okay, this is too much.
That's exactly what happened to me. I'm Googling over here. Oh, how do I open my third eye? Oh, here's a YouTube guided meditation. So I click on it and I remember laying in the middle of my living room floor. This was about 2000, you were there. I mean, you weren't there, but I'm sure I told you about
it. Oh, yeah.
This was like 2017, 2018, maybe. And I Googled it. How do I open my third eye? YouTube. Here we go. Guided meditation. So I'm laying on my living room floor and this, doing this guided meditation. And I remember just laying there. And the next thing I know, I wake up, and it was only like 30 minutes later. I don't know if I fell asleep or if I was just in a trance or I don't know what happened, but I felt, my body felt like it was full of like wet sand. Like I felt like I couldn't even bring my body up because I was so relaxed. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is what meditation does. I'm gonna freaking do this all the time. So then I started listening to guided meditations to go to sleep and to like align my chakras and this, all of that jazz. So, oh Lord, this is the one that I told you about. So I was trying to open my third eye and Dan was out of town this weekend. And I was like trying to keep myself awake because I just felt really uneasy in my place, which again, this place that I was living in was brand spanking new. I don't know anything about the land, but the house was just built. I was the first person to live there. And all of a sudden, I go lay in my bed and I'm just closing my eyes, and I had sleep paralysis that I've only had once in my life with the choo-choo man. I don't even know what to call him, but like that's the only time I've ever had that. And all of a sudden I'm laying there and I can't freaking move, and my eyes are open and my body is just frozen and I can't make a sound, and I'm just like, what is going on? And I hear this, it like literally next to my ear, it was like a tree branch like snapping. And I was like, what the hell? Like it was so loud that it felt like it was happening in my head. You know what I mean? And so first thing I do when I can move again is go outside and see what happened, even though there's not a single tree next to me. And I already know that except for this like tiny freaking landscape tree that would definitely not make that noise. And I'm like, what the hell? So I look out there, there's nothing happening. I get back in and my knee is completely cut up, like bleeding cut. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, that is so bizarre. So then my boyfriend, who doesn't believe in literally anything, comes home and he's got a rash around his neck. Like, I was like, who the hell gave you a hickey? But it was literally like red rashes from here all the way over to here. It was probably like...
I didn't know that about the rash.
Or
the
I didn't know about the rash.
Or the knee.
You didn't?
I knew about the knee. I knew about the tree branch.
I knew the tree branch.
And the cut, but I never heard about
You didn't? Oh the rash. My God. Yeah, no. Dan had like a... It was probably like 4 or 5 inches long of a red rash from the middle of his throat to the back of his...
Well, that's... I'm going to let you finish your story. I'm going to tell you what that was.
Okay. Please don't tell me it was a hickey because I'll cut somebody. No. No, but like I remember him being like, and before I even saw the rash, I remember him saying that his neck was hurting, and I was like, what the hell? And he was like, yeah, I don't know. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, I don't know, it's been there for a couple days. But like, he didn't think anything of it, because why would he? Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't believe in this shit, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So to him, it was just like, I don't know what that is. And he's a hillbilly, so he's like, who? Well, I don't know, whatever. But it's like, to me, in my head, I'm like, okay, hold on, this all correlates. I hear a tree branch snapping. I've got a freaking cut on my knee. He's got a rope burn looking thing on his neck. There's something going on here. Like, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, like, slavery or something of that nature. And also, just let me rewind a second. When we very, very, very first moved into our new house that nobody's ever lived in before, I got up and I went to the bathroom in my bedroom, which the master bathroom, you could see into the kitchen if you were sitting on the toilet. And I was peeing, not doing anything else. I was peeing, and I looked out into the kitchen, and I could see a woman standing at my island. And to me, she looked like a slave woman, like a mammy. She looked like a mammy.
Cut that out.
No, she looked like a mammy, and the only reason I say that is because Gone with the Wind is my favorite movie, and she reminded me of Mammy from Gone with the Wind, and she just looked like an old, I'm gonna kill you, she looked like an old, like an old slave woman, and I remember kind of like closing my eyes and then opening one eye and like, am I sure I'm seeing this? And I was like, I am seeing
Mammy,
this.
Mammy, is that you?
Mammy! And then I flipped the lights on and there was nothing there. And I was like, okay, Gretchen, you're fucking tripping. And so I went back to bed.
Was she facing you?
Yes. It was like...
Was she staring at you? Or
yes! Oh, she was staring at me. And I was like, okay.
Did she look pleasant?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't look like she wanted to kill me, but she didn't look like she was happy. I mean, she just looked at me. And so I told my boyfriend about it, and he called her Aunt Jemima. So anytime I said anything to him about it, I'd be like, oh my God, no, like there was somebody in our kitchen. And he's like, oh, you just seen Aunt Jemima, whatever. So like 2 weeks later, my parents came down to visit us. And we had a guest room. My parents are sleeping in the guest room. Me and Dan are in the master bedroom. And you just hear this, like, massive slam. It was like, I can't even explain it. It was crazy. No, I can't explain it. It sounded like somebody took the top lid of our washing machine and slammed down it, like, full force. And it just was like a big bang. And sure enough, all of us... flipping on the lights. We're all going investigating. Nothing. There's nothing.
Your parents heard it?
My parents heard it. Every single person in my house heard it. And there's nothing. And I have cats. So I don't, you know, like my first instinct is like, oh, the cats did something. But there's nothing. Like there was nothing. So that's like the backstory on the tree branch situation. That was like those are like the first two experiences I had. My mom... fell asleep on our couch, and my dining room chair, she said she woke up because something hit the back of the couch, and when she turned around and looked, the dining room chair was completely flipped against the back of the couch to the point where it left a mark on the back of my couch. So we're like, okay, something's like hostile here. Like there's some kind of like really horrible energy here. And that's around the time that I started collecting like antiques and getting furniture and stuff like that. And that's the same time around like the mirror picture that I sent you that had the faces in it. So I don't know, but
wasn't there an incident in your kitchen getting pushed or something? You felt a force or something? I don't know. There was something about like a kitchen cabinet.
Kitchen cabinet?
I don't know.
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe. And I just don't know. I just like to brush it off.
Yeah. It was definitely slave. Yeah. I mean, there's no little mammy. I don't think I heard the mammy either. But I heard stuff through Tyler.
Well, I told you about Aunt Jemima, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I knew about Aunt Jemima.
Yeah.
But it was definitely slave.
Oh, for sure.
Sure. And that's really old spirits.
And that's why I'm thinking, like, after I had seen her, and then after I heard, like, the tree branch thing, and then, like, my knee was bleeding, I just was like, oh, my God. Like, as soon as it happened, I kind of put it together. But then when Dan came home with, like, the rash, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is for real. And this person is trying to hurt us. Like, it was really scary.
So, did you close your third eye, or did it just go away on its own?
So, as far as that goes, after that whole situation happened, I was still kind of trying, and I was meditating through a guided meditation in my room. I had my bedside lamp on, and I was completely wide awake, and I was like laying in my bed looking up at my ceiling, and I could see the lamp kind of like shaking like on the ceiling. I could see the light moving, and I like looked over and my lamp wasn't moving at all. And I did the same thing. I put one eye over the other and I just was like, am I really seeing this right now? And I was completely sober, but I was like, am I really seeing this right now? And I did like the wink and the one eye over the other eye. And I was like, is this for real? And it was. And the second that I leaned over and hit stop on my phone, the whole thing stopped. The whole, everything, there was no more shaking, nothing. There was nothing. And I was like, okay, I'm done. And I'm not trying to open my third eye anymore. Like, I'm over it. Like, I'm scared. Like, at this point, I was horrified. I was like, nope, I don't want any part of it. And I have not had an experience since then. Kind of. I didn't have any experiences there. When we moved to the farm where we live now, usually when I walk through somewhere, I can like sense something, I can like feel something. There was nothing there, and I was like, oh my God, this is gonna be great, there's nothing here. And there has been nothing. But my boyfriend and I have ended our relationship, and during the time that we were kind of going through that, I was watching television and I could hear him saying my name from the bedroom, and I was like, what the hell does he want? And I stopped the television and all I could hear was him snoring. So I wasn't actually hearing him say my name, basically. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And that, and when it happened, I remember thinking like, okay, something's fucking with me now, because he was dead asleep. Like I could have like punched him and he wouldn't have woken up. And then after that happened, do you guys know what washers are? Like, like the tool, like not the tool, but like the
that goes between a screw.
Yes.
Like
Yes. So I work third shift at the hospital, and usually I leave around like 9:30 at night. And again, Dan is not a believer in anything like this. He always makes fun of me for it. And he texted me and he said, what's with the washers on the floor? And I was like, what are you talking about? What washer? well, why is the washer on the floor? I'm thinking a washer, the washing machine washer, because I don't know what a goddamn washer is. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, no, Gretchen, don't be funny. There are two, like, 5-inch washers. I'm talking, these things are like this, like the size of a salami, for those of you who are listening. Like, these things are humongous. And I was like, I have no freaking clue what you're talking about. And he said, I just heard this bang because we have all tile floors. And he said, I could hear them hit the floor. And when I went out there, they were stacked on top of each other perfectly on our fur rug. So he heard them hit the tile floor, but somehow they were stacked perfectly on top of each other on our fur carpet. Which, that's not my experience, that's his, which that scares me because, like I said, he doesn't have anything to do with that shit, so.
So that sounds like more like a opportunistic spirit that's, that feeds off of depression, and turmoil.
And yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Maybe we, like, created a poltergeist with our bad energy because we were, like, going through a breakup or something. Because, like I said, I never had any kind of feeling or any kind of anything in that farmhouse until, like, we started breaking up. And then I heard him say my name. And then the washer thing happened. And it... But these washers, I mean, they're still sitting on my counter. We have no, I mean, they are this big. We have no freaking clue where they came from.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've never seen them before that?
Never. I've never seen them before. I didn't even know what one was. And I was like, are you sure, like, Tim, who's our landlord, I was like, are you sure he didn't come in and do something? He's like, I think I would hear him come in. Like, I think he would have said something, like, why would he come in at 9:30 at night? And he said that it was right after I left. He heard the door close. He heard me leave. And then he heard the washers hit the floor. And then he went out there. And that's when they were stacked on top of each other.
That is odd.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Are you still, do you still have that psychic that told you about your ex-boyfriend? Do you still have that person on Facebook?
Yeah.
We should have that psychic on with you.
Yeah.
And give you a reading on the podcast.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah.
But you can also read me. You are already told me everything she's told me.
Well. So, we're going to have Gretchen back. Gretchen,
oh my God, this is an hour-long podcast.
Yeah. Gretchen will, Gretchen will be on regularly.
Every Friday after Drag Race.
Yeah, so she'll be back. It's not the last you're going to hear.
Hopefully with my mom.
I want Dawn on.
Yeah, we got to get Dawn on.
I want...
She's got so many good stories. You guys would literally shit your pants. I mean, hopefully not, but, like, she's got some good ones.
Yeah, I want so many people to come on and get this back up and going.
Thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm so excited.
Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. It helps a lot. See you next week.